This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
A very good afternoon and welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And we're going to be talking spring football today with our good friend Rico Beard from Fox Sports Detroit, and we're going to talk with spring football with him. He's down here most of the time. He's not here yet, but he'll be getting here later on today. Now, we do have some news for you that Derek Nix did accept a plea deal. He accepted a plea deal pleading guilty to impaired driving. The marijuana possession charge has been dropped, and Nix will be sentenced on May 11th. So Nix accepted a plea deal, just pleaded guilty to impaired driving. The marijuana possession charge has been dropped. Tom Izzo and Nix will hold a press conference later on today, or actually while the show is going on. So we may be able to, if we can get somebody over there to give us a call and talk about it before the press conference ends, we hope to do that. But right now, let's talk a little spring football and talk with our good buddy, Rico Beard. Rico, how you doing?
How are you, man?
Okay. Yeah, you just heard about the Nix accepting the plea deal there, which is, I think that sounds like that's a pretty good deal, doesn't it?
Yeah, anytime you can get marijuana charges dropped, that's always a good deal. That, to me, kind of sounds like he will be back on the team. So I think Spartan fans can take a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I thought that, too. I mean, I thought it would happen all along. I didn't think Tom would kick him off the team. I think it's going to be, you know, he'll have to do some kind of penance. We know that. What it'll be, I guess Tom will outline that at 1:15. So he'll probably have to do something. I'm not sure exactly what. Maybe he'll miss a couple of games, or maybe he'll have to. We know he's going to have to toe the line. That's obvious, isn't it?
Right. I think he's excluded himself from being the captain, which is a prestigious honor for MSU. I think he will either miss the foreign tour if they have one this summer, or he'll probably have to miss the first three games in the upcoming season.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I guess we'll hear about that when it comes up, or sometime in the near future we'll hear about that. Maybe we'll hear about that today. Hard to say what's going to happen. Well, hey, I know you know what's going to happen with the spring football. The game is coming up in a couple of weeks. So are you getting excited? I'm sort of getting a little excited for some football around here.
I am. I want to see certain players at certain positions. I think all eyes will be on number 10.
That's for sure.
I think everybody wants to see quarterback Andrew Maxwell. You are going to be replacing Kirk Cousins, who three-time captain, back-to-back 11 victories, won one Big Ten title, won the Legends Division, and played in the championship game. So you got big shoes to fill if you're Andrew Maxwell.
Yes, he does. And, you know, I didn't realize. I was just looking on the he is a junior eligibility-wise, but he's listed as a senior, but, of course, with junior eligibility. What would happen, you know, it could happen, but it probably won't. But if he has a great year coming into this and has an outstanding year, he could go pro after this year.
He could. This will be his fourth year at the program. He's a redshirt junior.
Yes.
So he sat behind. He's learned. So the only thing he's missing is experience. And you know what? Let's face it, if you're a Spartan fan and next year at this time we're talking about Andrew Maxwell in the draft, that means you had a pretty successful season. You were in a BCS game and you probably won. You probably won the Big Ten championship. I don't know too many Spartan fans who would turn that down.
No, I don't either. You know, that is something that could definitely happen. Now, as you know, I'm going to be talking with one of our good friends from the University of Michigan coming up. And when you look at that program, what holes do you think they've got to fill? coming. I mean, we know they got a very tough game in that season opener against Alabama. But how many holes do you think they have to fill? We know Michigan's got a few holes on receivers and with the QB coming up and a few holes on defense. But there's not a ton of holes to fill here at Michigan. I mean, in Michigan State, there are a few holes that down there at Michigan, though.
There are. The biggest holes at Michigan are in the right on the line, offensive and defensive line. Losing David Moe, probably your best O-lineman, your center, he held things together. You saw when he was injured a couple of years ago, the offensive line went down. You have a lot of inexperience. That's why if anybody follows what Brady Hoke is doing, he's brought in about 12 or 13 offensive linemen in the last two recruiting classes. He knows that pretty much what he has on the offensive line as far as upperclassmen are mediocre. They're not great. They're mediocre. They're Rodriguez's guys. He's bringing in his guys. So you'll see a lot of freshmen going up for and redshirt freshmen going for immediate playing time on that line, which is a bad thing when it comes to offensive line because you're not ready.
Yeah.
I think every offensive lineman needs to sit at least 1 or 2 years just to get up to the speed of the game because the thing is, if you get beat on one play and your quarterback gets knocked out, that could be your season. On the defensive side of the ball, once again, you're losing Mike Martin and Van Bergen, two guys that were the strength of your defensive line. You're replacing them with some young guys, and you're replacing them, and you're hoping that if you're Michigan, you can finally get something out of Will Campbell. The highly touted kid coming in, the five-star kid, he has not lived up to expectation, and this is pretty much the put-up-or-shut-up year for him. If you could squeeze any amount of that five-star talent out of him, then Michigan will have a successful time. But if not, I see teams being able to run that ball against Michigan, and if you can control the clock, that's the best way to keep Denai Robinson off the field.
Yes, now, we know that Michigan, they've got their problem. Michigan State, has a few holes to fill. Both teams have holes to fill. I know Michigan's going to try to improve or at least be another 11-2 team. Michigan State's going to have a challenge of doing the same thing. Michigan State's problems, as we know, the receivers. Can the receivers catch the ball? How well do they adapt and learn the system? That's going to be for Michigan State's receivers.
Well, see, Earl, I don't really see that as a problem because, and Andrew Maxwell kind of touched upon it. And I have been saying it. The receivers may be new to the fans, but these are the guys that Maxwell has been throwing to for years on the scout team. I mean, every quarterback had his guy when he was on the scout team. When it was Hoyer, it was Devin Thomas. When it was Kirk Cousins, it was B.J. Cunningham. They played together on the scout teams. They developed a rapport. I think that Maxwell probably feels better with this group of receivers than the last group. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but he never got to practice with B.J. and Keyshawn and Keith Nichol. He was always practicing with Mumphries, with Lippitt, with Fowler. So these are the guys that he's more comfortable with. So I think that, yes, they are young, they are inexperienced, but I think as far as Maxwell goes, he feels more comfortable throwing to these guys because he's been throwing to them for the last couple of years.
Yeah, now when you look at the defensive side, there aren't many holes to fill over there, but what holes do you see them having to fill on the defensive side? We know safety is one they've got to fill, but they seem to have mostly already people in position to fill the holes that are open.
Yeah, I think the safety spot, and, people blasted me last year when I said that the linebackers, even though we lost Eric Gordon and we lost Greg Jones, I said that the linebacking core would actually be better. And people were like, "Oh, you're crazy." I think that replacing Trent Robinson, as good of a player as he was, I think that R.J. Williamson will probably take that spot. Or I'm drawing a blank on the other guy back there. Oh. But the safety spot, I think that that's going to be taken care of, and I think that they will be fine.
Oh, yeah, Curtis Drummond is back there.
Drummond. Jarrell Worthy is probably going to be the guy that's going to be hardest to replace, because he was a guy who just made big plays. Now, because we all forgave him for jumping offside, because Lord knows he jumped offside a lot.
Yes, he did.
He made big plays. We remember him stopping the run against Monty Ball, against Wisconsin when they were at Spartan Stadium, you know. But I think that Anthony Richard White will be able to step in that role and not quite be him, not quite be Jarrell Worthy, but I think that White will be a nice consolation prize. I mean, White was the guy who blocked the field goal against Georgia in the Outback Bowl. A lot of people still think it's Worthy. That wasn't Worthy. That was White that got his big paw up there and blocked it. So I think that that's the biggest thing with the defensive line coming in. I think that is going to be the strength of the MSU defense. You're getting Tyler Hoover back. They're going to move him into that Worthy spot and see if that can happen. I mean, now if you got a 6'7" nose tackle, I mean, it's going to be hard for a smaller quarterback, to throw the ball over him, along with Golston, along with Calhoun, along with a lot of tall people. I mean, the shortest guy on that line will be 6'2", and that'll be Marcus Rush.
Yeah, see, that concerns me with Tyler Hoover moving into that line, because he's 6'7", he's going to have to shorten his stride, get his steps probably a little bit choppy. You know, he's used to playing on the outside. Now he's got to move inside. I'm not so sure. I'm going to have to see how that works out, because when you got a guy that big, they don't usually play that well on the inside. They're really good on the outside, so I'll just have to see if that works out, where Hoover makes a smooth transition to playing the inside tackle.
Well, and I think that he'll be able to, because the fact that if you're an offensive line, I mean, you're going to probably send the double team to Golston, which means that Hoover's going to be one-on-one with somebody. You're still going to have White in there, and you're still going to have Rush, so... Yeah, I think that it'll take a little bit of adjustment, but if it works out, I think that I can see him getting time, because D'Antonio's always said when he got there, he wants the best 22 players on the field.
Yes,
at all
he
time.
Does. Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you can move Hoover over into the middle of the line and put him at D tackle, with White at the nose tackle, and with Rush and Golston at your bookends, that you will have quite a foursome coming after quarterbacks.
I got to tell you, Eurico, I mean, with Michigan State and with Michigan both having tough games to start the season with, I'm a little bit concerned about injuries. Do you think those teams are, since they both have to face tough opponents, that they could have a few more injuries maybe than they thought they would at the beginning of the year?
I don't think so. As far as Boise State, this Boise State team won't be like the Boise State teams of the past few years. Graduating, I think, around 17 players, meaning only five or six are coming back. So I think for Michigan State, this was probably the best year to play Boise. Had they played Boise last year, it would have been a very tough game that they could have possibly have lost. This game, you're catching everybody brand new. You're going to have to be cognitive of just the trick plays that Boise is known for playing. But I think if Boise just tries to line up and go man-on-man and just run the ball and try and play tough, like Big Ten-type football, I think Michigan State will be fine. Michigan State just has to be, you know, worried about, you know, the end-arounds and trick plays and Statue of Liberties. But I think that this Boise game, it'll look good, you know, as far as national attention. But I don't think that this Boise State team is anywhere near what Boise State used to be. On the flip side, Michigan playing Alabama, I think that that's Alabama. And, you know, they reload. They don't rebuild. They will have people in there. And Michigan's already a double-digit underdog. And I really see that thing getting out of hand. And, you know, I don't think anybody's going to get hurt, because I think after a while, Hoke is going to realize – we're not going to win this game, so I might as well let some of my bench players get some reps and just, you know, rest Denard and make sure. Because let's be honest, Denard Robinson is the key for that team winning games. So I think once that game gets out of hand, kind of like when State played them in the bowl game, and you know, Cousins got hit around, you just took him out the game because there was no point. You're down by 30-some points. You're not coming back against Alabama.
Yep. Well, hey, Rico, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and I'll look forward to seeing you, and we'll talk after one of these practices coming up real soon, buddy.
All right, and tell Angelique if she keeps following me up like that, like, you know, she's going to owe me some lunch or something. I mean, this is the second time in a week now, so I'll be anxious to hear what she has to say, Earl. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Talk to you later, Rico. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Rico Beard from Fox Sports Report talking a little bit about Michigan State football, a little bit of spring football. And now we'll talk with Angelique Shingelis about the Michigan spring football and what's going to be coming up at Michigan in their spring game coming up. The time is 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Where do you go for great conversation on the topics that matter the most? The radio is more responsive than the water cooler, and we take your calls. I'm Jennifer Ludden. If you're talking about it, we're probably talking about it too. Join us for provocative talk on the issues you care about. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The weather forecast is calling for a mostly sunny day with a high of 55 degrees. Tonight, the low down to 32, so look for some frost in places, mostly clear overnight. Mostly sunny with a high of 61 tomorrow, warming up to 68 Saturday. Rain and thunderstorms are likely. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to talk with Angelique Shingelis from the Detroit News, talk about Michigan football. Angelique, how you doing?
Well, I got to tell you, Earl, I think Rico should be buying me lunch. Clearly, he's the number one draw on all these radio shows, not me. So he's obviously making the big bucks. He should buy me dinner.
Yeah, well, I will tell him that as well, because I didn't know I was going to have you both on. And when I called him up, he started laughing. He said, "I've got to be in front of Angelique again." I said, "Oh," I said.
I'm used to that, Earl. Everybody's ahead of me, but that's all right.
Well, how about Michigan, though? That, you know, they're going to be a good team. They've got a lot of holes to fill. Areas do you see they have the most holes to fill?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty evident to everybody, Earl. It's on the offense and particularly the defensive lines. I mean, Mike Martin's gone. That's a huge loss. And along with Mike, it's Van Bergen and Heininger, the three starters. And then on the offensive line, you lose two starters, including David Molk. So those are the main keys. And so I think that they're getting some nice production in practice. And Brady Hoke, we just met with him the last press conference before Saturday's public scrimmage. I mean, you can't call it a game. And he said that Will Campbell had his best practice on Tuesday. So, to me, I think all eyes will be on Will Campbell, Earl, on Saturday. And that's obviously not going to answer all the questions, but he's got to be the guy, I think, in the fall for this defensive line to really work.
Yeah, now that's the thing. He was, considered being a five-star player when he came in. I mean, you know, Michigan has been known to get a lot of four-star and five-star players, even though, as we know, I don't know what a five- or four-star player means.
I don't either.
You know, but that's what they say. They're supposed to be, better players than what the two- and three-star players are, and sometimes the two- and three-star players are better, but they have that reputation. Unfortunately, if they don't live up to it, a lot of people will be down on them.
Oh, you're right, Earl, and I agree with you. I mean, it is unfair in that sense that everybody thinks, well, five-star, he's got to be great.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this before. To me, it's rating them on how they played in high school, not projecting how they'll play in college. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you think if he was a stud in high school, he's going to be a great player in college, but that doesn't translate, and you're right. I mean, look how many diamonds in the rough teams have found that were not recruited or barely recruited and turned out to be great players. And I'm not saying Will Campbell will be great or not great. I don't know. I mean, we just haven't. He's been so up and down in his career. And people can say, well, a couple years ago, Rodriguez moved him to offensive line. I don't think that stunted his growth on the defensive line. I really don't. I just think that, this guy has talked a very good game this spring, Earl. He's talked about how he hasn't read anything about expectations that he always has his own expectations, and he knows he has to live up to them. So, you know, we'll see on Saturdays this fall if that's finally true. But, you know, he's not the main guy. I mean, they need other guys, obviously, yes, to step up on defense, but he is a guy that everyone is expected to step up.
Yes, now, and when they open up against Alabama, you know, that's going to be a very tough game for them.
You think so, Earl? Really? I really think that was going to be an easy one. I mean, that's defending national champions, and I know they've lost some key guys, but that team is just loaded. And, you know, their offensive line is veteran. I like the running back, too, that's coming in. Lacey, I think he's good, and we're coming back. And it's on a neutral side. I don't know if that gives Michigan any kind of, I don't think it gives them any kind of advantage or luxury. Maybe it helps a little bit, but I mean, Alabama, and I got to be honest, I've talked to a lot of Michigan fans, Earl, who are going to that game, and they're sort of like, you know, like throwing caution. They're like, hey, it's going to be fun. It's going to be like a bowl game, and nobody's expecting them to win, even Michigan fans. At least that's not the sense I'm getting. They just want them to play well, and they want to have a good time in Dallas. The fans do. I don't think they want the players to have a good time. But, it's a cool stage. It'll be a really neat setting and prime time and all that. But I haven't met anybody who thinks Michigan's going to go in there and show Alabama that, hey, you know, the Big Ten's got some major horsepower here, too. I just think they want to have a good performance and see where it falls.
Well, that's for sure. I think that too as well, Angelique, and we know that the Michigan players, of course, they're going to want to win. Sure, players do every single game, but
right,
this is going to be such a tough game for them. And like you say, it's not a great matchup for them. And that's why I'm worried about. And I asked Rico this. We have many injuries in that game and in Michigan State's game, both opening with an unusually tough game.
Right.
Neither team has faced a team usually this tough in the opening game.
No, that's absolutely true. But, you know, I don't think you can go in and worry about it. But, yeah, I mean, I would think in the back of mind, you got to be thinking about that possibility. But, you know, Michigan's schedule's tough. I mean, they go on the road. They're on the road there in Dallas against Alabama. Then they're on the road at Notre Dame. I still think the game at home against Air Force is going to be tough. And then down the road, you've got Michigan State at home and then Nebraska and Ohio State on the road. To me, that's a tough schedule with some nice cushion kind of games in the middle there. But, what are you supposed to do, though? Not play Denard Robinson and see where the chips fall without him just because he might get hurt? That can't happen. And Rico, as Rico said, I mean, he's the key to this offense. And how successful they'll be, and you got to pray for him that his sake he doesn't get hurt, and everybody's sake. But I mean, you can't scale back because it's a tough team and a tough opener.
What about is one thing I haven't heard much about? But as you know, last year they struggled on special teams. How do you think special teams is going to be this year?
That's interesting. We talked a little bit about that with Brady just a little while ago, and. You know, he said he really doesn't have a clear-cut punter yet. And, people laugh at me, but I think when Dalton Mesko was Michigan's punter, he was their best player, obviously, that year, under Rich. And I don't think you can underestimate the value of a good punter. And Hagerup and Wiles have been battling, but nobody's been consistent. And I do think that's a concern. He said that Brendan Gibbons basically has won the job as place kicker. I don't think that's any surprise. But in terms of the return game, where I don't want to say they weren't very good. They just didn't impress anybody. I think that they feel like, in terms of punt returns, I think they've got Gallen, and they're going to use Blake Countess a little bit, the cornerback, but they also want to use Countess possibly on kickoff returns, but he really wants to see the running backs, Rawls and Hayes, emerge there. So they're trying some different things, and I think going into Saturday that – you know, obviously you want to see what the defensive line stuff, but they're going to focus a lot on the punting game and the return game on Saturday and see what they have and what they can look forward to working on in preseason camp.
How do you see the receivers this year? Do you see the receivers really breaking out, or what's their status?
I don't know. I think Junior Hemingway I thought was a pretty good receiver, and he was the guy I always thought would be a tough guy, and I thought he showed that last season, but I think that the guy that's been getting a lot of talk is Gerald Robinson. And, I mean, that's been pretty consistent with Borges, the offensive coordinator, and Hope, sort of singling him out a little bit. And Roundtree, and everyone's talked about Roundtree, Earl, the last season just getting barely any catches versus a couple seasons ago when he was the guy. And, you know, I think the people, he's moved to junior spot, and I think, will he have that kind of presence? He's not as physical as junior, but I think he can, he certainly showed that a few years ago that he can be the guy. And a couple, I mean, Drew Dilio had a nice bowl practice and nice spring, and Jeremy Jackson, who is Fred Jackson's son, he's been having a nice spring. I don't know that they're going to go out and wow people, but I think the one thing that's been consistent since last season is that this is a group that really likes to block, and I think if you're a coach, you'd really like to hear that. These guys aren't focused on, oh, you know, I'm not getting enough catches. They actually have like a competition among themselves about who's getting the most blocks in games, who's hitting people. So I think as a coach, you probably like to hear that, but I think fans want to see some of these guys really emerge. And I don't think there's going to be a Braylon Edwards type or a Anthony Carter type, Earl. But
yeah, but they'll have some that can catch, hang on to the ball. I mean, that's all fans want. They want guys who can hold on to the ball and maybe get a few yards after the catch.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, I like Roy Roundtree. He's also had some drop issues, too, over the years. So I just think he's personally a really nice kid. He's worked really hard, and he has not been negative at all about last season and really drifting down the chart in terms of receptions. And Jeremy Gallen, too. I mean, he emerged last season as a kid who can do a lot. He's small, but you know, he can definitely do stuff. But again, I don't think this is going to, you're going to go in the season and think this is the strength of the team. I really don't think that at all.
Well, I sort of got a different kind of a question for you. You know, we watch a lot of football, and sometimes I wonder, do you think fans are maybe a little bit too critical of players, especially, you know, especially on the offensive end? Like, doesn't matter. It's almost anywhere. But in Michigan, they might be a little bit more critical on the receivers if they don't catch the ball. Do you think fans in some ways are just maybe too critical on their own team? Doesn't matter what team it is. But
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, they seem to be a little bit too critical. And you know, these are young kids who maybe
right.
not have played but two or three years in high school and maybe a couple of college years. And sometimes I think we forget that they're so young.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Earl. And look, I mean, we've all been fans, too. And I've yelled when I was a kid at certain players or whatever. You just do that. But I remember talking to Bob Winowski, our columnist at the Detroit News, many years ago, Earl. And it was I forget what game it was. And it might have been in the Chrysler years. I can't remember. You know, we've been around so long. But, you know, one of the players was getting booed, a home player, by the home team crowd. And, you know, Woj was saying that's one thing you just don't – A, you don't really rip a college player in print because they're not – you know, this is not a professional sport where
right.
you can hold people more accountable. These kids are, you hope, trying to do their best and booing. And it's always sort of rankled me a little bit when I hear hometown – the home crowd booing their own players. And I just think that's the nature of being a fan, though, Earl, and people don't think about it sometimes. And they don't think that maybe the kid's family is sitting around them. And I remember talking to Tom Brady's sisters many years ago when he was quarterbacking at Michigan. And one of them, I forget what was going on in the game, and Tom was getting ripped by these fans. And the sisters just wanted to turn around and punch this guy out. And you can't do that. But you know, that's the nature of the sport, unfortunately, but it's also part of being a fan, I think.
Yes, because I remember here, Cousins was played so well, but there were some games where, you know, he was getting booed, and their parents said they just had to sit back and bite their lip as much as they wanted to turn around and hit someone. But that is one thing that you can do. But, you know, that
right.
that's one of the issues when fans are booing. And I guess you can say they do have a right to boo. They paid their money. So, you know, what can you say? Because they paid their money, though they feel they do have a right to boo.
I just think it's tough to boo a college kid. I mean,
yeah.
Somebody like Kirk Cousins, I mean, who is a stellar individual and off the field, I mean, how can you not like and admire this guy? And I think, you know, you got to, if he makes a bad throw, I'm not saying, oh, you got to think, well, he's a great kid and he's a smart kid and he represents Michigan State well. That's not crossing through your mind. I just think your first gut instinct shouldn't be to boo the kid. It's, you know, make a comment to your buddy, oh, man, he missed that throw. But don't go after the kid for something like that.
Oh, for sure. Well, how do you think the depth at Michigan, is that going to be a problem this year? They're going to have much depth in this team? Or if especially they got seems like they got to scramble to find all these starters, how do you think the depth's going to be this year?
Well, I thought people asked me last year before last season, Earl, where the depth issue was, and everyone thought defensive line. I thought offensive line, and their numbers were really down last year, and they're still not that much better. And, I mean, they really are trying to fill gaps on the offensive line. I mean, moving Ricky Barnum to center from guard and moving Schofield from guard, left guard to right tackle, and then having him practice at left tackle to give Taylor Lewan a chance to take a breath here and there. They're trying. It's sort of piecemeal. I mean, they've obviously got some talent, but, you know, and their bodies coming in the fall, freshmen. But I think numbers are still an issue, particularly on the offensive line. And again, as any new coach knows, I mean, it's a couple years before you can get your recruits in and you start putting the pieces of your puzzle together the way you want them. So, it's not ideal, but I think they're going to make do just as they did last year. I thought they made do with that offensive line last year, and I remember asking Brady at some point, might have been after the Michigan State game, that part of the season, well, what would you do if Taylor Lewan's hurt? And he had no idea. He said he didn't know how he would fix that line to make it work if someone like Lewan went down. So, to me, that's a big issue. But, yeah, overall depth for sure, but particularly on both lines, Earl.
Boy, that's going to be tough yet, because sometimes you have to bite the bullet. We know here when Mark D'Antonio, those first 2 years, he mm-hmm. didn't want to. He redshirted almost two classes, and it paid off for him in the long run.
It paid off.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
No, you're right. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I think you have to look at. When you're a coach taking over a team, you have to look down the road. Certainly you want to win right away and do what you can, but you've got to look down the road. And I thought that was pretty smart what he did in preparing for these last few seasons.
Yes, we know coaches, they may not, we know all players want to play, of course, but the reality is they all can't play and they're not ready to play. But, boy, if you can redshirt them and they accept it, because, you know, you don't want to redshirt someone who, if they don't really want it to be redshirted, but you know, you may need to do that, and that can really help a team if you can redshirt enough players and get them ready for the coming years. It might not be the first year or even the second year, but, you know, if you can get a redshirt enough players, it has definitely play dividends in the future.
Oh, absolutely, and I do think, I mean, would college football ever go back to not playing freshmen? I still think that would probably be a smart way to go, and there's obviously some great freshmen who've played. I thought Blake Countess played pretty admirably last season for Michigan, and he was a freshman. But I think by the end of last season, and he wouldn't admit it, I thought he looked like he got worn down. You know, the pressures of playing as a freshman, the pressures of getting to know a new school and getting into the college life, I think that wears on a freshman. And so I do think it's ideal if you can redshirt these kids coming in. And you know, I'm also not a big fan of the kids enrolling early. I understand why that's good for them and good for the team, but gosh, I mean, you grow up so fast, and I just don't think most kids are ready to play when they're freshmen.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't think they're ready either, but some of them want to play.
And
that's the thing. If they want to play, and most of the time, as we know, they don't have the strength to play as a freshman.
Right.
Coming out of high school, you're just not as strong as you should be. It usually takes a year in the weight room to get you ready for that first year to play.
Oh, definitely. And you see some of these kids, like, you know, even by their junior year, they're kind of finally where they should be physically to play really solid football at their positions. And I you're right. A part of it's ego, and part of it's during the recruiting process. Well, you know, the coach told me I can play this fall, and that's important for an 18-year-old to hear. Mm-hmm. And but I, you know, hopefully they get sense talked into them most of the time and realize that redshirting is definitely the best option.
Yep. Hey, Angelique, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you. We'll have you back talking more football again, especially before we get to that first game.
Well, Earl, I want to be on before Rico's on, though, next time. All right? Can you arrange that?
Yes, I can arrange that.
All right. That's
the
deal.
Hey, thank you, Angelique.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Earl. Have a great weekend.
You too. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Angelique Shingelis from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Patrick Hickey told the Wall Street Journal he's ready to retire at 62. His wife says no way. It's a complicated negotiation and plays out in homes across the country. Even if a couple came through the recession with enough to retire, spouses often have other ideas. I'm Jennifer Ludden, negotiating retirement together. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl. Thank you for joining us. It'll be mostly sunny with a high of 55 today. Mostly clear tonight with some frost, the low down to 32. Warming up to 61 tomorrow, mostly sunny. Saturday rain and thunderstorms are likely with a high of 68 degrees.
Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call or send us an email, but talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, let me tell you how we're doing in our on-air campaign. We've raised $43,109 at this point. Web dollars, we have $17,589 and 60,000 web dollar totals, $60,698. We have total pledges, $275, that is, and new members, 44 new members. That's the number we really want to get up, that new member, because we know that there are so many of you out there, great listeners who listen to us regularly here on WKAR, and now's the time to show us how much you like WKAR. We hope there are not any haters out there. Hopefully you all like us. Hopefully you show us how much you like us here by calling in and pledging your support. You can call 353-5000, area code 517-353-5000. Call and pledge your support to WKAR. We come your way Monday through Friday, actually Monday through Sunday. We come your way each and every day right here on WKAR, but especially this time of year, we only ask you two times a year to give funds and support WKAR programming on radio. And we can do that because we've got so many great listeners out there who call at other times and pledge their support. Some of you pledge on TV, and we thank you for that. Some just do radio. We thank you for that. And some of you do both. And, of course, we thank all of you, each and every one of you who call and pledge your support to WKAR. So give us a call right now, and especially everybody likes to plead on behalf of their self and their group and their listeners. And yes, I know that we've got a lot of great sport listeners out there. A ton of people that listen to sports right here on WKAR. And I've got to ask you to call in, pledge your support at WKAR. We need all of the sports listeners to call in and pledge their support. And, we thank you all for calling in and giving, and we need you to do that right now. Give us a call at 353-5000, area code 517-353-5000. Call in and pledge your support to radio station WKAR. And, we come your way in the afternoon at 1 to 2. You know, if you don't have time, you might be at work. We know some of you are at work during this time. We call as soon as you get a break. Give us a call. But whenever you get a chance to call and pledge your support, and you say, hey, I'd like to do this in honor of the sports show right there on AM 870, because we know a lot of you are working. You just don't have time to call in. And if you do have time to call in, we appreciate it if you can take out the time and give us a call, because there's a lot of you out there who've been listening to this show for a long, long time. So if you're a long-time listener or even a short-time listener, we ask you to call in and pledge your support, because sometimes, for example, like now, we've got Aaron Young on board, and Aaron's, I would call, a short-time listener. Not a long-time listener, but a short-time listener. So if you've been a short-time listener like Aaron, you haven't been listening that long, WKAR, you need to get your feet wet and call in and give your support. Since you're a short-timer, Aaron, why don't you tell people and convince them on why they should come on and give to WKAR? I mean, you haven't been listening as long, haven't been here this long working it. So, tell what the people that should do that are out there that have been listening not for a long time, how can they get involved?
Well, calling me a short-time listener makes me feel young, so that's
you
a good thing.
You are young.
Yeah, that's good. Appreciate that. No, yeah, you're right. I I'm not that old, so I obviously haven't had a chance to listen for a long time. But the way public radio works is we get donations. Our listeners donate, and it becomes your own radio station. And obviously WKAR here at the radio side offers a lot of great programming. Obviously, many of you know all the classical music that we play, but we got jazz, we got folk music. We got obviously sports talk, which is what we're doing right now. Myself, I love the sports side, but I also love the other programming too as well. So there's diversity in the programming. We encourage people to donate as much or as little as they can. Every little bit helps. And I do encourage all listeners to do so, because without your support, these programs can't continue. That's how public radio works. So it's pretty simple. If you like what you hear, please donate. Like you said before, Earl, some people like to do the TV side, which is fantastic. We appreciate that. Some people like to do just the radio, or both sides. We're happy with either side. I got a phone call here, actually, so I got to take it and give it back to you here.
Okay. Aaron, and that's a good way of putting it. You outlined it, how well that we have all these programs here. And there's programs, there's something for everyone right here on WKAR. And so hopefully, if you've been a long-time listener or a short-time listener, you'll hear something you like here on WKAR. Hopefully, right now, if you're listening, you'll get, listening to the sports program, and hopefully that's a sports program is something that you like. Well, right now, let's go over to Saginaw and check in with Michael, who wants to talk a little bit about spring football practice. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing there, Earl? I like to talk about Michigan State. Is Arnett, Arnett, when his case going to be? When they going to determine?
Yeah, we have no idea. That's all. That's in the hands of the NC2A. We assume that whenever they get to it, it'll probably be adjudicated, and he'll be able to play that first game. That's what we're assuming. But, it's the NC2A, so you have no way of knowing what the NC2A is going to decide on. Optimistically, we're just hoping that, he'll be eligible, and they'll let him play this first year, and he won't have to redshirt.
Okay, Earl, I got to ask you, when the spring practice game, what do the players do before they go back on campus? Do they just work out on their own, or they just take a break for practice and catch up on their academic work?
Well, they have to do their academic work. Many of them are probably taking some classes right now, but sure, they'll do some work. And you don't hardly have anyone. That's the thing with college football, you just don't have any downtime. You're always practicing, working on something, and this is one of those sports where as long as you're on campus, you're either doing something off the field, you're weightlifting, doing some training like that, some lifting, you're doing some running and exercising, and then of course you only have 15 practices during the spring, so you've got to do all this other stuff to get ready for football. I got to admit, Michael, sometimes I'm a little concerned that we place so much emphasis on football that we just don't give players enough time to be players themselves or do other things, because they got to place so much emphasis on that football career.
Do you think that from all the stress of playing football and everything, that some of those players can't handle situations like to make decisions about life situations? Because I see a lot of DUIs with football players, and I see a lot of irrational behavior from them. If you just focus in on, instead of just having a life or something, do you think if you just focus in on that's all you do and that's all you think and everything else, do you think that kind of leads to behavior out of the norm? What you think?
I think it probably does help, for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. They have to concentrate and do so much with football. They spend so much time in football and everything they've got to do. It's like when the season's over, I say that's when coaches really start worrying with their players. After the season, it's out of season is when a problem. That's when they have so much time on their hands, and that's why as a coach you always worry: will they get in some trouble? Will they do the right things over the break, or when when they're at home? Do you have to worry about them going home and getting drunk with some of their old friends? You just worry about so much more. And I know every coach worries about their players, especially when it's out of season. They don't have to worry about them in season because their time is so regimented in season. But after the season is over, it's like, hey, it's every man for himself.
Let me say this about Draymond Green. You know, he came up here and he got his number retired at Saginaw High yesterday.
Yes.
And everything. And I was really locked out by his speech, how he tried to talk about the youth and what they need to get motivated and try, you know. But it's just something about Draymond Green. He touches the younger people. I think, you know, it's better for him to talk to them than some of the adults is, because up here in Saginaw, we have a lot of problems with our youth. I mean, our youth is so alienated and they so bored up here, and they just, you know, they just aimlessly adrift. Now, you know, there's some people that's trying to reach out to them, but it's just, Earl, it's just, I don't know how it's down in Lansing and Flint and all these other places too, but I mean, our youth is just at a stage where it's unfortunate that they have to look up to a coach or at least to an athlete that to probably listen to and get some guidance from, because so many adults don't want to take that role. And I just appreciate him for he's just a basketball player. I know he's not no politician or no church clergy or anything like that. But, Earl, I mean, I don't know in the next 5 years, man. I really don't. I'm worried about the whole state. So, and I just worry about our young people and what direction they taking in life, man, because the values they inherited and everything is something that the dogs left them on their own devices. So that's my moral lesson for today. So thanks for letting me talk to you. And I know you had a good Easter and a good Friday too, man. Just moving along.
Hey, thank you, Michael. Yeah, bye-bye. And Michael's right. I mean, you know, when you're worried about kids, I wish there were more, like he said, there would be more Draymond Greens, because let's face it, in our society, you know, we'll help people and we'll do things for people, especially those that have been successful, especially on the basketball court or the football field. When you have those kids, they're brought up there and put up and held up as role models. So if you're a basketball player and you are a very good one, or a football player and a very good one, you can get a lot of accolades for just being that, being a good football player, or being a good basketball player. We've often said, you know, you should uphold some of those other people that are doing well, because there are kids out there that are doing well, especially, you know, that don't play basketball or football or don't do anything like that or don't play sports, and yet it's funny, the only ones that get the limelight and get the praise are the ones that are in sports, or, you know, the ones that are accepted for being such a good player in something. And now we got a good friend, Sam Hosey, coming in, because Sam was at the hearing that Derek Nix just was talking with Tom Izzo, and want to hear what happened with that. And so, Sam, hey, thank you. Glad you could come on, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Earl. Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, it was emotional from Derek, and with tears actually streaming down, he apologized to his family, the team, the coaches, his friends, even the media, believe it or not. He just apologized for the whole ordeal, and then he came back up to the podium after he stepped down for a bit. Thanks. There are a lot of guys, former players in the back of the room. Timbo Grakis, Anthony Iani, Mateen Cleaves was there. So a number of people were there. And, you know, just to apologize and thank those people. So very emotional. And, yeah, I think he learned his lesson. But I asked Coach, in fact, at the press conference, because he said he would be allowed back, but it would be with certain stipulations. And I asked if you could share what those things were at this time. And he said, I really don't have anything concrete just yet as far as his punishment goes. He said it depends on how he does this summer and with all the other things that will be going on. So they're going to be keeping their eye on him, so to speak. So it's just a terrible situation in terms of you don't want to see a young person go that route. But he seemed to own it, and you give him credit for standing up there in front of everybody. Tons of media in the room, and everybody basically except you, Earl, was in the room. But it was just, you know, an ordeal, and hopefully I know they want to put it behind them.
Yeah, did he say, give any reason on why he had the marijuana with him, or why was it just one of these things of being young? Is why he just was using some of that?
No, he didn't take any questions. Mm-hmm. Tom is the only one that took questions. The biggest thing that came out of it was the car. There was a lot made that he was driving, a 2011 vehicle. It turns out that it was a 2007, and the car belongs to his brother's girlfriend. And so that was one of the things. And Izzo got a little bit upset about just the big deal that people were making out of that. But Derek did clear that part up. But nothing about why he was smoking or why he had the marijuana in his vehicle or any of that. So we're all just, you know, maybe at a later time going to be able to question him. But he didn't take any direct questions today.
You know, because, you know, I like Derek and known him since he's been, but since he came here, he always seemed like such a nice, nice young man, very, very impressionable young man. And I was just one of those that was really surprised that that would happen with someone like him. But, you know, I don't know. How did you take it? Were you surprised that Derek got caught up in something like that?
To be honest, Earl, not terribly surprised. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I think less of Derek, but I mean, Earl, I think some of everybody, your listeners included, at some point we were young and we're drunk or something and woke up on a playground under the monkey bars. You know, it's something crazy. At some point we all did. The difference is he's a student athlete. He's recognizable and those kinds of things. But Tom, he mentioned that he spoke to a number of people before allowing Derek back on the team, including Clarence Underwood, just trying to get feedback because he was like, everybody has been a different generation, he said, and different cultures. Things are just different other places. And so he didn't want to make any rash judgment. But Derek has been allowed back, but it's going to be conditional. So I think that's what we can all take out of this.
Yes, I thought he was going to be allowed back all along, and so that's not a surprising here. You know, the biggest surprise, if he did anything else like this or did anything else to get him in trouble again, I think that would be the biggest shock. Because in all honesty, I just don't think he's going to do anything to get himself in trouble. I mean, he knows he's got in a good situation. He probably won't be. Tom probably didn't say anything about the captain issue, is it? Because I think we all assume that he won't be the captain this year. They'll have to have a captain by committee or something like that.
Yeah, I would assume you're looking at Keith Appling, maybe Adrian Payne, just some of the upperclassmen. Who knows, maybe to Brandon Dawson or something. But, yeah, I think maybe he forfeited that right and some of the other things. But the big thing, too, is on the road, I think these student sections, they're going to let him hear about it. Everywhere he goes, at Wisconsin, at Ohio State, you know, at Michigan, he's going to hear about it. And that's part of the punishment, I think. But when you make these decisions, we all have to live with our mistakes.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of players have gone through that. I mean, I don't think it's fair, I mean, to do that to college players. But, hey, if you put yourself in that position, I guess you just got to take the punishment, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of being a man. And Tom has always said that hopefully this is the last step for a little boy going to becoming a man. And that's owning this and kind of dealing with it.
Well, hey, Sam, I want to thank you for joining me and giving us that update. I appreciate it. I'm glad you had a chance to give us a call and tell the folks what's going on with Derek Nix. He had a press conference today, him and Tom Izzo, and we just got an update as Sam Hosey is leaving the press conference now. Hey, thanks a lot, Sam.
Hey, no problem, Earl. You have a good one.
You too, buddy. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Sam Hosey from lifeinlansing.com and just giving us an update on Derek Nix and his situation. The time, 59 minutes after only 1 minute left. And if you want to call in and pledge your support to WKAR, now's the time to do it. 353-5000, area code 517. 353-5000, area code 517. Call us right now. Pledge your support to WKAR. We try to keep you up to date on what's going on in the Michigan State Athletic Department. And we know if you appreciate that, we need to hear from you right now. Give us a call once again at 353-5000, area code 517. I want to thank you all for listening today to our radio station, WKAR East Lansing, Michigan State University Radio. We come to your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2:00 right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, Talk Sports, right here on AM 870 WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.